because they wanted to work on their Snapple rifle kills. So they were launching bottles of Snapple at us.
Great, I want Snapple. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, no problem. I'm here to help.
Snapple is in stores now.
Well, I live in the age of the interwebs. I can do it if I want. That's immersion. It's called immersion.
Cage match.
Fight! Somebody's been hitting the roids.
Welcome to the H2MMO podcast. Video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the H2MMO podcast, where we have video game reviews, MMO news, and more for your ears. I am your host, Mike B, and today is Father's Day, June 20th. And joining us, as always, is our lead blogger, Brett S.
What's going on?
And our co-host, Brandon Y.
How's it going, everyone?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Normally we start the show. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Instead of looking forward, we're going to take a look back at the past 6 months. You know, we've been doing this for like 6 months now.
Well, I guess that's about right.
We started in early January, right after Christmas, and our first show, Episode Zero, was where we talked about all the loot that we had gotten for Christmas, all the fat epic loots. And that was right at the beginning of January, and now here it is. We're at almost at the end of June.
Time flies.
Yes, it does. It does indeed. But okay, so today we're going to take a look back. Do we want to talk about what we've been playing lately?
I haven't played much, I guess. I'm crazy. Of course, I played Alan Wake. I rented it and I beat it, and it was one of the best games I've played in a long time.
A lot of people have said that.
It's fantastic.
It's like a movie.
For those of you suckers who don't have a 360, which is both of you, I think, I guess you can get it on the PC as well, but it's a pretty, you know, graphics intense game. Everything about it is just amazing. But anyway, we'll get to that maybe next podcast.
I don't think I'll have a problem with that anymore, with graphics on my PC.
You have a point.
So, for those
I have a 360.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do have a 360.
You do? I thought you didn't for some reason.
No, I did. I remember it broke and they sent me a brand new one.
Oh, that's right. You didn't at the time. Okay, yeah.
How's that working out for you? Is this one working?
Yeah, actually, it's one of the newer ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, it's one of the newer ones, so they give me a brand new one.
Oh, well, that's good. Maybe they won't have any problems with this one, so.
I'm hoping.
Well, that is cool. I saw a PC on sale, and I bought it, and it is, another Dell. My household likes the Dells. Then it's a Dell, what's it, XPS 8100 or something. So, I mean, it's not like super top of the line or whatever, but I mean, it was on sale for dirt cheap. And of course it's got the i7 processor. So I like it when people talk about their cores now because I can get my EPIN on. I have 8 cores. and 8 gigs of RAM and a fairly decent, video card. So I've been playing a lot of, Civ 4.
Game.
Well, you know, we talked about that. We mentioned that once in the podcast and I said that I didn't like it. And playing it again, here's what I don't like. I don't like the Beyond the Sword expansion.
See, I heard the opposite. I heard that was a really good expansion.
Well, Beyond the Sword has a lot of espionage in it, and I don't play like that. I just like to crush people.
Gotcha.
I'm playing a really tough kind of game right now where I'm the Egyptians, and I guess it's about 1600, and so far I've destroyed the Russians and the Chinese with, like, really low-level units. I just threw a million of them at them.
Good riddance, commies.
Yeah, good riddance. See ya. Yeah, that's right. The Chinese and the Russians.
Yep.
So they were on my continent, so I'm left with the two other civilizations on my continent. It's kind of a stalemate right now, so I'm building my army back up, and I'm going to launch another offensive and probably lose the game, but what the hell. I'll take everybody with me.
That's how you do it.
So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, the funny thing about it is on the new computer, Leonard Nimoy voiced a lot of the narrative and stuff for Civ 4, So when you start a new game, of course, there's the load bar, and then while it's loading, Leonard Nimoy's like, in the beginning, there was the void, and everything was black. On this new system, which I'm very happy with, he doesn't even get to say in the beginning. The game just loads up that fast, and you just click play, and you're going. He doesn't even get to say, like, his opening line. So, I'm kind of grooving on that. So that's what I've been doing. I've been just on the PC, just loading up a lot of old games. You know, Sid Meier's Civ 4 and Sid Meier's Pirates, and I just got fun.
That's fun. I love Pirates.
Yeah. Well, apparently we have a man crush on Sid Meier.
Yeah.
Which is normal. I mean, he does a lot of good video games. It's, you know, he's kind of bald, but whatever. So I've really been enjoying that. I just got finished playing a game of League of Legends, and again, like, the loadout is, I'm always the first one finished. So I'm very happy with that, and, it's kind of taken a chunk out of my PlayStation time, but hopefully War for Cybertron will fix that. I just put, $10 down on Transformers War for Cybertron, and I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that it's a good game, because if it's not, I'm gonna get really upset.
I've heard both good and bad things about it, so I don't know.
You know, all of the gameplay videos and everything else look really cool. I mean, it looks really cool. What have you heard bad about it?
I mean, somebody said that it's one of the worst games he ever played. Somebody else said it was really cool. I don't know.
How did they play it? It's not out yet.
Some board that, you know, that I go to, they were talking about it. I guess the PC version got leaked or something like that, and you know, they're posting their opinions on it, and I don't know. I'm still interested in playing it. You know, it could be really cool. Hopefully it is.
So you've heard good and bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and granted, every game is going to have good and bad, you know, so that doesn't say anything.
Right. Cause apparently I'm a Red Dead Redemption hater, and that puts me at odds with 93% of the world.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, the money's down. I'll have to see how it goes. If it's doo-doo, then I'm just going to throw some stuff and scream. So, all right, Brandon, what you been playing?
Oh, off and on, some Red Dead. The game to me just lacks a lot.
Oh, you too?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, me too. Whenever you're playing online, I mean, there's just too much lacking to it.
All right, well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I know Red Dead Redemption is, like, the big thing that's out right now. I've played it. I lent it to Brett. Brett played it and beat it.
Loved it.
You loved it, and then Brandon, you've played it, and you're not too fussed with it.
No, I'm not. The storyline is fine if you have a storyline to follow.
Right.
But once you start getting to the online part of it,
right?
I mean, there's not much to it.
You need buddies. It's just open world chaos. You need buddies. If you have people that you know that you can play with online, with a mic, you're going to have a lot of fun. Because you can coordinate what you're doing, much quicker, much faster. You can respond to threats quicker and faster, but there is a lot of griefing in the multiplayer online.
Yeah.
Just a buttload of griefing. Me and my little cousin were playing a couple of weeks ago, and somebody just decided to grief us because they wanted to work on their Snapple rifle kills. So they were launching bottles of Snapple at us.
Great. Now I want Snapple. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, no problem. I'm here to help.
Snapple is in stores now. Anyway.
So he was getting us with a sniper rifle, and it just went back and forth like that for 20 minutes until he got bored and went away. I mean, and, you know, he'd kill us a couple times. We'd kill him a couple times, and it just, you know. And it was just like WTF. Like, don't you have anything better to do?
Yeah, see, I went to a game like that where I was one who, well, I wasn't griefing them, but they were originally chasing after someone.
Right.
Like, okay, this one guy out, he's being chased by two guys in a posse. All right, fine, I just came in, and I leveled them. Mm-hmm. I did that a few times, they chased me, but then they got tired, and they kicked me out of the server.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, is if you have a bunch of friends, and you're all in a posse, you can kick someone off the server. Whether they're, you know, good player, bad player, whatever. You know, and I think that was one of the reasons why the guy decided to quit griefing us, was because we both voted to kick, and I guess that stuff's broadcast. Mm. And so after two of us had voted to kick him, he decided to go away because he didn't want to get kicked off the server or something, which is whatever. It's an instance. You can just hop from one to another. But, yeah, I found the story a little disjointed. And the world is huge. The world's rendered beautifully. But the whole thing of being attacked by cougars and, you know, you're off skinning a coyote that you just shot, and then all of a sudden a cougar, you hear a growl, and then you die because they got you from behind.
Yep.
That to me is, like, the most unfair, like...
I never had problems like that. Like,
really?
Ever. Yeah, I played through way more than you guys did, probably single player.
You never got mauled by a cougar?
I got attacked a couple times, but it was only when I was actually actively hunting things. I mean, I'd be hunting a pack of wolves because their you know, coat and skin and all that stuff goes for a hefty price.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, you'll get attacked, but the only time I ever got attacked while I was skinning something was when I would shoot one thing and then the group would run away and it would come back and attack me. So
no, I see, because right in front of Fort Mercer. Like, right after you do the big, like, assault on Fort Mercer.
Yeah.
I was looting all the stuff, and then there were some animals, so I was getting the animals to work on my, you know, survival or hunter or whatever. And so, I shot a bunch of stuff, and then I was going from one to the other, and then, you know, got mauled by a cougar or a couple of wolves or whatever. I've had my horse taken down by cougars.
Yes.
And that is the worst. Oh, and I finally learned about the deeds. Like,
yeah.
Once you buy a deed, it doesn't matter what happens to your horse. You can always just call him right back.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice feature.
Well, it would have been nice if they'd have told you that.
I had to look it up online to figure out what the hell those deeds did.
Right, and so did I. And that's the thing. I shouldn't have had to have looked it up. There's no reason why I should have had to have gone to the internet. In order, it should have said, hey, do you know that if you buy the deed for this horse, now that you have it, because you get the Kentucky Saddler earlier in the game, and it's one of the best horses in the game.
It is the best horse, actually. Well, the best horse you can, yeah, it actually is the best horse, yeah.
There are three that are supposed to be really good. There's the American Standard, there's the Kentucky Saddler, and then there's one more, like, I don't know, some Hungarian three-left-footed, Dusseldorf hunchback, I don't know. They all have weird names. But if they'd have said after you broke that horse from the ranch mission, that says, hey, it says, hey, now this horse is yours, you know, it's a Kentucky Saddler or whatever, but they don't tell you that it's a really good horse. And they don't tell you, like, hey, you should go buy the deed for this so you can call this horse back anytime you want. And that's all it would have taken was just a little tool tip on the screen, a little help hint, and it would have made the gameplay go a lot better.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, maybe about an hour after I looked it up, they told me that in an in-game hint, and I thought, I'm near the end of the game. This should have popped up a long time ago.
Yeah, see, I haven't gotten to that in-game hint.
Well, the thing is that the help tips, you know, the tool tips or whatever they're called, they'll pop up randomly, and sometimes they don't make sense where they pop up. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Right. Kudos to the Rockstar guys for building an absolutely impressive world. It is gigantic. It's rendered very beautifully. There's a lot of stuff that's just constantly going on, in this little digital world. And, you know, it keeps track of that train as it goes through the whole world. You've got birds and wolves and cougars and prostitutes and bandits and sheriffs, and all of these elements, you know, are running around, and they're mixed into this big old pot, and you can run into any of them at any time. So they've got a great world. They can build a world. Their next big thing probably should be to just build an MMO world, but, my God, don't let them do the story. Like, the story is so disjointed, and if you're playing a bad John Marston, that's totally at odds with the way that they've coded, like hard coded, you know, the way that he always avoids the ladies of the evening, and some other different things. And yeah, the story is a little lacking. It's a little flat or disjointed. Some of the characters, you know, are a little weird. Like, who's the Gollum guy?
Oh,
Seth. Seth. Yeah. I'm going to dig up this corpse. I'm looking for my precious. Like, oh, wait, he's looking for his treasure map. But still, it just fits right into that. Like, it's, oh, my God, you just took Gollum and put a hat on him and made him play with dead corpses in the Old West. And I really could have done without him. I just totally, and he didn't do anything in that assault on Fort Mercer except, you know, it didn't show how he got in. It just said, oh, he got in and he's part of the gang now.
Well, they said that he knows people, so.
Dead people?
No, he knows people. He knew people in the fort.
Mm.
Maybe if you paid attention.
No.
Well, anyway, we should probably get on to something else.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Well,
all right, Brandon.
One more thing on this game. Then, if you play online, you know, you get experience points, so you go up through a level, you know, to get unlock new guns, unlock new horses.
Right.
You know, like the bull, the buffalo, the zebra, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can keep doing the same mission over and over, and there's only one mission that you can really get a lot of experience off really fast.
What's some of the gang hideouts, right?
Yeah, it's one of the gang hideouts.
Right,
it's the easiest one to do that you just do it with two people and you can just gain massive points, but it gets boring because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it you know, one of my favorite ones is probably the mine. I've done the mine several times and I kind of enjoy that, and it's the outside of the mine's really hard, but once you get that down, like going inside the mine is just, it's to me, it's a cakewalk. Yeah, I don't know, like, how it's not very clear as to how you're supposed to level up or how you're supposed to get points or how you're supposed to. It's just kind of like, well, here's a fantastically rendered open world. Go play in it. And it's like,
what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah, what do I do? Okay, I'm here. What do I do now? So, and that's kind of the feeling that I get from single player and multiplayer. So, that's exactly the feeling I get. It doesn't have enough of a hook. But let's tie that into what we're doing today. Is we're taking a retrospective of some of the games that we really, really liked over the past 6 months. So we're going to look at an awesome single-player game, an awesome multiplayer game. We're going to look at our worst game, the one that we liked the least in the past 6 months, and then we're going to look at like what we think is the buggiest or glitchiest game. And that should cover just about everything that we've seen in the past 6 months, because that's a lot of stuff. So if you want to talk about an awesome single-player game that didn't suffer from this, then I would have to say Assassin's Creed 2.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 was still this kind of open-world idea, not necessarily the Rockstar type of open world, but I mean, everybody's familiar with Assassin's Creed 1, which was a good game, but it suffered from kind of the same things as Red Dead Redemption. It kind of put me to sleep at some points. Assassin's Creed 2 did not. It was an absolutely fantastic story. Whoever wrote this story, or the team that wrote this story, they did their homework. Everybody in the game, just about, was drawn from history. The Auditore family from the main character, Ezio and his father Giovanni and all of them, they were real.
Oh, they were?
I believe so, yeah.
Holy crap.
You didn't know? They were supporters of the Medici family.
Wow.
So, I believe they were real, yeah. Of course, the Medici family was real. The, Rodrigo Borgia was real.
Yeah.
He was actually Pope Alexander the Sixth. Fourth, sixth, something, sixth. So, if not everybody, then the vast majority of people in this game were based loosely on real characters. The locations were, of course, based on real places. Venice, Florence,
Rome,
the Monte Regione. I work with a couple of Italians, and I came in and I started talking about these places, and they're like, oh yeah, and this is what it's like, and they told me, and then I told them what I saw in the game, and they're like, yeah, that's kind of close. So even if they didn't get, you know, all of the locales are, they're smaller than they are in the real world, but they got the spirit of it very well.
Yeah.
You know, the Renaissance period was an absolutely awesome time. You know, the way that the characters were rendered and the way that Ezio was dressed and everybody else was just fantastic. It was a fairly long game. I mean, it's 15 hours bare minimum. That's if you don't do anything but the story and you run through it, it's 15 hours. You know, and it can be up to, you know, 25 to 30 if you try to complete everything. I just really liked it. The one thing that I didn't like about it was that some of those puzzles from those glyphs were insanely hard.
Yeah, they got a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that I had to go to the internet for. Everything else didn't bother. I walked through the game. I discovered things, maybe not as I needed them, but shortly thereafter. The pacing in the game is good. The story's good. The mechanics are good. It's just one of those games that's just like, you know, if there was a fault, it was because, you know, I'm just not as good a player as it is a game. So, so that's my awesome game. I mean, and God of War 3 is God of War. I mean, it's a very short game. It's a very linear story. This was much more open, and to me, it takes top billing because you spend more time, so you get more bang for your buck.
Yeah. And has anyone seen any of the E3 footage of the new Assassin's Creed game?
I saw a video about...
Oh, my God.
Rodrigo Borgia. What did you... What did you see?
I saw some story stuff, and I saw some multiplayer stuff. You know me, I've never been a big multiplayer person, even in terms of just regular games. Mm-hmm. But I need to buy this game for the multiplayer alone. It's a bunch of people... You know, they're all using the Animus, and they're all just going through, and this is for assassins, I think, in training. They're just going around trying to kill each other, but they can also blend in and things like that and use traps to kill the other players.
They're trying to kill each other?
Yeah, I'll have to, you know what? I posted it on somebody's Book of Faces page that I'll link you to, but,
Okay.
And the single player, the story looks fantastic too. You know, it's a continuation of Ezio's story, but, yeah, I'm blown away. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that, the one video trailer of Rodrigo Borgia after, you know, because he didn't – it's – well, I guess we can go ahead and spoil this, huh? Because, I mean, if you haven't played it by now, then come on, people. Like, I played it late. he doesn't kill Rodrigo Borgia at the end, which, of course, sets it up for Rodrigo Borgia to come back. The game ends with, I think, Borgia just became the Pope, so he's now Pope Alexander VI. So I guess the next game has still got that whole conflict between Ezio and the Auditore family and the Assassins and Rodrigo Borgia and the Templars. The video that I saw is, you know, Rodrigo's riding along in a stagecoach. I don't know why I wanted to say cage. Maybe I was going to say cage stoach.
Cage match.
Fight! And then Ezio's going through the crowd, and as the guards see him or whatever, these arrows are coming from out of nowhere and taking down the guards. And then, so he's finally standing up, you know, in front of the Rodrigo's the coach there, and I guess his guard, he does this really gay maneuver where he kisses his blade and he's talking smack to Ezio, and all of a sudden all these other assassins come out and like all these guards die, and you know, it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, they've showed you know, actual gameplay. They've added so much. I mean, there you can operate siege towers and things like that. I mean, there are things they've put in here that are insane, and I love it. I mean, they made a lot of improvements. But anyway, I guess I'll go with my game if you're done, Mike.
Well, the only thing that I'm concerned about with, like, I'm done with Assassin's Creed 2, but Assassin's Creed 3, the only thing I'm concerned about is...
It's not 3, though. It's 2.5, basically.
2.5. Is Ubisoft going to lock it down? Are they going to lock it down because of the digital rights management?
Who knows?
That's a question that I have that I don't know. I don't know how they're going to address that, and I don't know how that's going to affect the players. But, I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So my game...
Okay, yeah, go for it.
You know, it's sold pretty well. It did okay. Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah, that little thing.
That little upstart company. Mass Effect 2 had... I played the first one, and I loved the hell out of it. I mean, it was one of the best games I've ever played, hands down. And I thought, okay, how can they possibly make this game better? I mean, sure, there are things they could do, but how can it be a better experience overall? Well, they did it. You know, they made the game more action-oriented. They made everything much more fluid. The story is just one of the best I've ever seen in a game. You know... I can't say enough good things about it, as I said last time in my review of it. It's epic. It's epic in scale. you know, it's what can I say about it that hasn't been said by a thousand magazines and, you know, gaming sites.
I don't. There wasn't any sex in it.
That's a lie because there's a.
Oh, there was. Oh, okay.
I had so much sex in that game.
I thought that one of them didn't have something or something. I don't know.
I mean, you could pretty much have sex with. I think each character, each gender had. You could have sex with three characters out of the, like four or five of that of the opposite gender. But of course, that's the thing we're going to talk about is all the sex. But you know that.
Not the excellent graphics or the game mechanics or the great story, just the sex.
As luck would have it, they actually just released a demo for Mass Effect 2, at least for the 360. I guess it would have to be the 360 because it didn't come out on PS3, right?
Right.
So I played that actually over the weekend.
For 2 or 3?
2. 2. Oh, man, if 3 was out, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I'd be playing it still.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the characters are all just so interesting, and everything about it just, you know, culminates into this amazing end game that A, finishes the game, and B, you know, sets up for the third game, which is going to be the final in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just I'm going to actually probably have to play it again, even though I already played through it twice and beat it twice.
Yeah, I've got some copies. I've got to play Mass Effect 2. I just haven't done it. I guess I should.
You should.
So.
You should. You really should. So now we have Brandon.
Brandon, what is your most awesomest single-player game?
Again, I still personally like Final Fantasy 13.
It was very good.
I've heard horrible things about this game.
But, okay. There are mix out there with people, you know, it is linear to begin with until you get too close to the end of the game.
Well, but isn't part of the whole draw of Final Fantasy is like exploring this whole big world? I mean... Uh-huh. Final Fantasy VII, like, they constrain you a lot. You're in Midgar for the first disc. But after that, you're all over the place.
Yep. Well, that's how every single Final Fantasy game is. This one included, I assume. I don't know, but...
But this one was, like, the first 20 hours of the game is just, you're running down a highway.
Yeah, you're confined. You're trying to escape and get out and find out what's going on, things like that. That's the first... good portion of the game.
Yeah, but how can that be fun if you're just going in a straight line?
Because they make you want to get to that point. They make you want to keep playing.
Okay. Well, I'll buy that.
Cuz the combat and the story is both very compelling and you want to keep seeing what's going on.
All right. Well, keep going, Brandon. Why is this game so awesome?
Well, I like the visual graphics of the game. I actually like the storyline to the game. They did really well with the story.
Mhm.
And then once you actually do get to the free roam of the game.
Uh-huh.
This is where you're going to get to a lot of your sub quests and a lot of your character advancement that you want to do. But they didn't make it so much go grind.
Yeah,
they actually gave you things to help you along with your main storyline with these sub storylines.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I mean, it's pretty fun. You first start the roaming.
Uh-huh.
So you've got monsters out there that are your size, your level that you can go fight. There's some that are a little bit stronger. And then there are some that are so freaking big, they step on you once and you're toast.
I've seen monsters like that in Spore.
I've seen monsters like that in Demon's Souls, like the first freaking boss you fight. Freaking A. Anyway.
So, all right, well then, because 12 was very grindy. That was the complaint that I had in 12. I think I played almost all the way to the... I played to the pirates in 12.
12,
And I just got so sick of, like, grinding all this money for killing all these monsters and getting money for cash so that I could go back and then I could buy their upgrades to their weapons and armors. And it wasn't enough that I did it once. I had to do it 6 times, once for each character in my party, because if I wanted to switch somebody out and they had substandard gear, you know, they're going to be hitting, you know, a big boss for, like, 14 points of damage when I need to be hitting him for, you know, 1,400.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was 12. And that's part of what they fixed on. It took out all the grinding and just made some of the storyline more linear to begin with and help you advance.
That is a sigh of relief. All right, well, do you got anything else you want to say about Final Fantasy 13?
No, that's about it. I mean, play it.
Okay. All right, it's worth the buy-in. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so that was the single-player game. So Assassin's Creed 2... I think that's available on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Yep.
Final Fantasy 13. I know that's available on the PlayStation. Is that also for the Xbox?
That's where I'm playing it.
In fact, I've got a funny story about that really quick.
Sure.
I was visiting a friend recently, and they had the Xbox version of 13. Uh-huh. And I thought, great, because I had brought my hard drive with me. I thought, oh, great, I can continue on where I left off, you know, because I just rented it and I had to return it. What the hell? Why isn't it reading my save game? And I started getting really pissed off, and I checked my hard drive, and it took me about 15 minutes to realize, wait, I played it on the PS3.
Wow.
So that's my smart story of the day.
Wow, okay. Remind me not to go to any math competitions with you.
Listen, 2 plus 2 is 5, all right?
Yeah, 32, 40, 11, 11, 7.
4 plus 3 is 43.
Green.
Green.
And this is why we're not programmers. Okay.
Hey, wait
and,
a second.
And then,
who's not programmer?
Well, we're not.
Well, you kind of are, sort of, Brandon. The last one is, so Mass Effect 2. So all three of these games, Assassin's Creed 2, Final Fantasy 13, and Mass Effect 2 are all worth the buy-in. So if you haven't played these games, go get them. Reward their publishers for doing a very good job. You know, they've been played and vouched for many, many times, at least in our little circle of friends. So they're good to go.
You know what? If you have a copy, buy another one, just for the hell of it.
There you go. Yeah, just go out and buy another one. Awesome multiplayer games. Who wants to tackle this one?
I'll go.
Okay, hit it.
All right. Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
When Katrina strikes again.
Dude.
Oh,
yeah.
Poor Louisiana.
Heavy rain.
Poor Louisiana. I feel so bad for everything that's going on with them.
Well, not only that, they recently brought up some expansions for it.
Mm-hmm.
They added two more chapters to it. One that you got to buy, and one that they just gave you.
Right. Okay.
And we've been playing them off and on over the past couple weekends. My brother and I have.
Yeah.
It's taken us one whole day just to pass one chapter.
Wow.
Because as soon as we start the next chapter, we just keep getting wiped out over and over and over, and we just get pissed off at it and just stop. We're like, oh, that's enough.
Yeah.
I've died enough.
Well, I've never played Left 4 Dead, much less Left 4 Dead 2, so why don't you go ahead and set it up for us. Set up Left 4 Dead 2.
All right, Left 4 Dead 2. So you start out, you pick one of four characters. What does he look like? George Clooney-looking guy, Nick. You have the backwoods redneck, Ellis, which is who I like to be.
That's me.
There's a big, burly black man, and then there's a...
Oh, I can be the big burly black man too.
Then there's a little black girl.
Mm-hmm.
That you can play. I mean, they've all got their little quirks and
things. You mean
that
when
they
you
do
say little black girl, you mean like a young black lady? You don't mean like
yes.
a 7-year-old
yeah.
girl, right?
Yeah, not a girl. No, yes. She's in her 20s.
About to say, what's she gonna do? Hit him with a teddy bear? Like.
But
yeah.
I mean, as you go through, what you do is you start out. You have pistols, 9mm. But as you get through, you find more ammo, find more weapons, shotguns, rifles, sniper rifles.
And what's the premise for the Left 4 Dead series? Is this some kind of like Stephen King, The Stand thing, except everybody turns into zombies?
I don't know if they ever actually say. There's always they have like various speculations on, you know, from the characters and things that are written on a wall about what caused it. But basically, yeah, it's just a bunch of people trying to get the hell out of wherever they're at and fighting zombie after zombie after zombie.
So they never tell you where they come from?
No, not really.
Well, that kind of blows.
But you got to look around really to find the other things. Like there's, like you said, there's actual things written on the walls of what people have said, what they're doing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, as you go through, you start out, you wake up from this event that happened that turned everyone to zombies.
Right.
Okay, so you meet up with other people that have somehow been immune to the virus that turned everyone to zombies.
Okay.
So you're trying to get away from the zombie hordes and the military bombardment that's happening because of it.
Oh, okay, so the government's going to blast wherever you're at because of all the zombies.
Yeah, they've been doing that, so... But you're running, you keep trying to get away. Like I said, as you get through, you pick up different ammo weapons, but you can also pick up things like baseball bats, cricket bats, frying pans.
Nice.
And you can smack zombies with them. Eventually you get machetes, you can get a katana, you can just start slicing them to pieces.
Well, talk to me about the clowns.
Oh, God.
I've heard that there are clowns.
There's actually an achievement you get or a trophy for the PS3
called Send in the Clowns.
If you bonk them on the nose, if you bonk five clowns with the rubber noses on the nose, you get an achievement for it, which is kind of funny.
I haven't seen that one yet, but yeah, there are clowns in some of the carnival stages.
Uh huh.
They laugh a lot. They make a lot of noise, so they pull in more zombies.
Their shoes squeak. You can hear their shoes squeaking when they're stalking you.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you gotta take out the clowns so they stop calling in more zombies.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a Stephen King The Stand plus Buttons the Clown from It.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, okay.
Oh, and wow. And you have to fight through a hurricane. That's also pretty awesome.
Oh, that's fun.
I've heard about that.
I'll tell you, actually, it's one of the coolest game moments I've played in a long time just because of how unexpected it was. You know, you're walking through and you're like, oh, here's some cornfields. Hey, it's starting to rain. Hey, that house is flying away. What the crap? And then, you know, it keeps getting more ridiculous.
I mean, it picks up really hard eventually. I mean, when we were playing, the screen got darker. It got cloudy outside. We thought after we were done, we thought it had been storming outside for like hours on end.
Yeah.
And it was just cloudy outside.
It was cloudy. And clouds already passed. It was sunny and dry and birds were chirping like, huh.
That's good. When a moment in a game can suck you in like that and then you think that the weather outside is matching what you're doing, like just because a cloud passes by, like that's cool. That's immersion. It's called immersion.
Yep. I mean, but some of the newer things that they brought in, they now have riot cops in riot gear as zombies that you got to take out now.
Oh, fantastic. I love dealing with those in, what is it, Army of Two, the 40th day. Those are always fun. And then in Borderlands, you get them as well.
So you shoot them in the front. Okay, it stuns them, doesn't kill them.
Right.
You gotta knock them down and attack them in the back.
Yeah, the one thing that we always did, I don't know if this works in Left 4 Dead, but submachine gun their feet. In both Army of Two, the 40th Day, and Borderlands, you have the same character type that, you know, they have the heavy armor and the shield. And they're, when you, you know, if you just shoot them at the shield, all you're doing is wasting your ammunition. But if you shoot them in their feet, eventually it gets them.
Yeah, no, we've tried shooting them. We've gotten point blank with them, and still no luck. You just got to take out a bat or take out a frying pan, smack in the face, and knock them down.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's yeah, cooking with gas there.
Yeah.
Actually, literally, you can set on fire with gasoline.
Yeah.
Nice.
Gasoline, propane canisters, oxygen tanks.
Fantastic. But, so, and how is the multiplayer on Left 4 Dead?
It's awesome.
It's so chaotic but fun.
So
the more people you have, the higher the difficulty you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Like two people playing advanced is insanely difficult, and there's still a level beyond that.
So
in difficulty.
When you and your brother play, you play the couch co-op, and you're on the same screen, and
yeah.
Or are you playing on PCs?
No, we're playing split screen on the Xbox 360.
Okay.
On his TV.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. And okay, so who wants to go next for a multiplayer game?
I'll go. I actually, mine are tied. I couldn't really decide which one was more fun.
Yeah, but, notice you put down 12.
12?
Sure.
You have 12 different titles.
The list just kept going.
I put down 2.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got confused.
But, so I have Resident Evil 5 and Splinter Cell Conviction. Now, Mike, I know you played Resident Evil 5, and
yes.
we both love the crap out of it.
It was a very good game. Very good.
Well, that is a good game.
Yeah, it's so good. And the co-op is what makes it, you know, amazing. I actually had a friend recently just buy it, probably about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we played the whole thing through, and, you know, he played it on a higher difficulty than I had when I first started, but I had subsequently beat it on that difficulty the second time through, you know, months ago when I first bought it. So I'd forgotten how difficult it was on that level. And, you know, it's just you jump – it's so easy to jump into a game and join a friend. And, you know, the game is designed from the ground up with co-op just like 4 was. Well, no, 4 didn't have co-op, but 4 had, you know, instances of it, of where you could see second player being handy.
Right.
So, and of course, you know, you can't go wrong with Chris Redfield, really, as the main character.
He was so big and beefy. Like, I remember from Resident Evil 1, he wasn't that big and beefy.
Even in Code Veronica, he wasn't, you know, yeah. Which was 3.5.
Somebody's been hitting the roids.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's and it was great, too, because, you know, when he and I beat the game, because he's been playing since the first game as well. I've, you know, we both had a PlayStation and we both played it. And Wesker has been the bad guy since the first game.
Right.
You know, off and on, not exactly in every game, but he's at least made some small appearances.
He's behind the scenes. He's connected with it all. Definitely.
So getting to actually kill him.
Yeah.
Was, you know.
That was such a pain in the butt, too. And it wasn't so much the fight in the volcano, you know, you had to learn some mechanics and then you had to do it. But the one where, but right before that, when you're on a boat and it's like, oh, you've got to shoot a rocket at him and he's got to catch it and then you have to shoot the rocket. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That was that's a bit much. Like, okay, Matrix, just catch the rocket. Like, that was a bit much, but it was I agree, that was a very, very, very good game.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, as frustrating as those, you know, three or four stages of the end fight were, they were very different than most games, and they were really fun and satisfying when you actually finished them.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I can't think of a game that's better for, like, two-player co-op than that. My second game, which I'm going to quickly talk about, was, as I previously mentioned in some other podcasts and, you know, reviews, Splinter Cell Conviction had another co-op mode just like that, where, you know, it's a kind of a side story, if you will, for the main game. And I played through it with a complete stranger who, of all things, I had put up a post on GameFAQs.com and saying, like, hey, does anyone want to play? You know, I need somebody to play co-op with. So we played, and he ended up being a pretty cool guy. And, you know, we played about 2 hours or so, and at the end of the freaking co-op campaign, after you do all these things with this guy, and, you know, you have to kill him. You know, you each get messages via a cutscene that you have to, you know, go kill the other guy. So whoever wins, actually, you get to see their ending.
Fantastic.
Really cool. You know, like really, a really cool, you know, thing. And I really loved the co-op aspect of that game.
Well, that Army of Two, the 40th day, at the end, you get that same thing. This is, wow. We're going to have to put a spoiler alert on this show.
Oh, so you actually, so Salem and Rios actually, like, try to kill each other?
Okay, at the end, you didn't finish it?
I didn't play, honestly, much of it. I didn't have time to rent it or anything like that, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I know you wanted to play with me for a while, and just things weren't lining up time-wise. But, yeah, at the end, you're there with the bad guy. So you've got Salem and Tice are there with a bad guy. And he says, you know, you can kill me and this will happen, or you can kill your partner and this other thing will happen. And so, you know, me and my wife are playing. She plays the little guy, Salem.
Yeah.
And I play the big, bulky guy, Rios, Tice Rios. And my wife's like, you ain't shooting me! So we shot the guy and ended the game that way. But, yeah, I guess that's starting to become like a little bit of a trope in some of these video games, you know, where you're going to shoot your partner or whatever. Like, screw that. I'm not shooting my partner. I shoot you. So, anyway. All right, well, that's cool. So that's buried inside the Splinter Cell Conviction game itself. It's another different part, like kind of an added bonus.
Yeah.
All right, and you said it was about 2.5 hours long?
2 to 3, I'd say, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it just for that, to rent it. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, my multiplayer is Borderlands, and the only reason why I bring this thing back up again, and we've been talking about Army of Two, the 40th day as well, because we have that. Me and my wife, we love those games. I hope they come out with a third one. We enjoy playing them. But Borderlands, my brother moved down here recently, and he comes over on his day off, and I let him look through all the games, and he picked up Borderlands, and we've been playing that. I just got the DLC that takes you up to level 61. We haven't played it yet, but I've got it. I've got it installed, and we started from ground zero. He's playing a sniper, and I'm playing a soldier, and we have just it's more fun multi. That game is more fun multiplayer than it is single player. Period.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
And we're playing, you know, the split screen on the couch. The only bad thing I have to say is that maybe they didn't get the camera angle quite right for the split screen, so it feels a little cramped. But you get used to it. And it is just an epic loot fest, and the battles just feel so much more intense. And yet, when you're playing two-player, the battles feel way more intense, but you finish them faster than you do on single-player.
Yeah.
Because single-player, like, you can't go in and just, you know, ha-ha, shoot everybody, because somebody's going to get you from the side. But with the two of you or more, if you're playing online, you know, you go in there, you know somebody's got your back. You know, when you go down, I don't know, I can't count how many times, you know, we've saved each other. You know, with the little heal button thing, that's just awesome. Because when you die, like, in single-player mode, it's like, okay, I gotta kill something. Second player, you know, with two-player mode, a couch co-op or whatever, I could just punch him because he's right there on the couch. Go save me. And we've had a lot of fun. I think we're on the second playthrough, not even midway, still early. And we're like level 42, 43, and just outputting massive amounts of damage. And just having a blast, you know, we're carrying around too many guns because they're purple and we don't want to get rid of them. Instead of just finding something we like and just trashing everything. And it's a really great game. It's a really fun time. We lose hours easily. And the only bad thing that I can say about this whole game is that it's a post-apocalyptic world. It's kind of a new take on it, and there are freaking tires everywhere. I don't care where you are or what you're doing. You look around, there's a freaking tire. And usually it's a stack of freaking tires.
Yeah.
They use tires for everything.
That's their money.
Hey, tires don't degrade. Might as well.
Apparently not.
Just don't set them on fire.
I'm surprised they don't make buildings out of tires in this game. It's a great game. It was the darling sweetheart of the shoot 'em ups, I think, for 2009 or late 2009.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. It's cel shaded. It looks good. The gameplay's fun. There's no game mechanics. Although in multiplayer, I have noticed every now and then you can get stuck.
Yeah, it does happen, but.
But usually.
It's not frequent enough to be a problem, especially considering how fun the thing is.
Yeah, usually you can grenade somebody out or pull up a vehicle and they can hop in or.
Yeah.
There's usually a way out of it. I don't think we've ever had to restart because somebody was jacked. Totally. I mean, you might lose 5 minutes, like once every 20 hours. If that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's low. Okay, well, let's see. What do we got next on the list? Well, the next thing on the list is the worst game. So, again, this is going to be slightly controversial. So, worst game, and this is just for us. This has got nothing to do with anybody else. It's just for us. This is the worst game that we've played in about the past 6 months or so. So I know that all of the publishers and the developers listen to this podcast religiously because we don't even have it up on iPod or iTunes or anything. Speaking of which, I'm going to look into that. I'm going to get us up on the iTunes. I'm going to try to get us up on the iTunes.
Oh, cool.
After this, with this podcast. I was supposed to do it last time, but I got the new computer, and of course that, you know, you have to move all your files and to set up your new computer and blah, 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 blah. I actually do have the iTunes downloaded. So I should be able to get it up this next time. And then we'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
That'll be cool. Okay, so who wants to start with the worst game?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, hit it.
My worst game is Star Wars Clone Wars Republic Heroes.
And what system's that for?
I think it came out for the Wii, the 360, the PS3, and PC. Maybe even the DS. Yeah, it did.
Okay.
I was interested in it because does anyone remember Jedi Power Battles for the PlayStation?
Mm-mm.
Brandon? Anyone?
I don't.
No.
It was an old, it came out for the PlayStation. It was based, around Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And it was touted as, you know, an old arcade style action game, which it was. You know, you're destroying battle droids, you're jumping, you're doing platforming, that kind of thing. So, that's what they were saying this is going to be like, this new 3,000th Clone Wars game. So I thought, that sounds awesome. You know, I'd love to play this. And a buddy of mine came over and I rented it and we played it. And this is a kid's game, and it's one of the glitchiest, most frustrating things I've played in forever. I mean, wow. a game's supposed to be fun. A game's not supposed to be you jumping onto a moving elevator and then falling through the elevator, or or missing the elevator three times because the controls are so freaking bad. The Clone Wars property itself, I think, has been run to the ground. Not in terms of quality, because I like the TV show, but just they've done everything with it. They've had, 16 million games and tie-ins, and you can buy Clone Wars freaking condoms and everything. It's just ridiculous.
I don't think you understand that George Lucas needs a lot of money in his retirement fund.
Yeah,
and the only way he's going to get that is there's no excuse for putting out a bad game, and that's part of the reason why we do this podcast and why we do the blog, is because we don't like bad games, and people shouldn't. When I bought Red Dead Redemption or whatever, and I played it or whatever, I've got some freaking buyer's remorse, and I'm kind of anxious about Transformers because I really want it to be a good game, and if it's not a good game, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah.
And games have gone from, $20 back in the day or $25 back in the day, they're like $65 after taxes now.
Yep.
That is like, for the top 1% of America, that's, whatever. But for the other 99% of us, that's a substantial investment for entertainment. And with movies creeping up on that price, and if you have a family of three, it's past that price. There has to be some balance in the system. We've got to decide how we're going to, we have to make informed decisions about what we're going to do with our dollar.
Yeah.
And for somebody to publish a game like that, where it's a franchise that you know and love, it's something that you want to play, there's a great idea behind it, but the execution is just so utterly horrible. That's just unacceptable. While you've got the bat out, is there any more damage you want to do to this title?
I think that's it. I mean, terrible controls, a crappy plot. I guess the plot wasn't bad. The plot's based on the show, but just the controls were so awful, and just the entire, I can't think of the word, the entire implementation of everything was just awful.
Okay.
And LucasArts should be ashamed of themselves for making this game.
Well, I heard that the team that worked on this was a group of brand new retarded tauntauns. And it was headed by that little snot-nosed guy that helped Han Solo fly in Return of the Jedi. So that might have been why.
That definitely explains it. I mean, the giant Mexican stereotype? Yeah.
Oh, him? Yeah. That guy?
He just... God, what a...
Hey, I need you to put the deflector shields on the mat. Okay, does everybody that sit in the co-pilot seat have to be completely freaking unintelligible?
And horrifying looking?
Everybody. You can't just get some guy in the co-pilot seat like, hey, I need you to turn the deflector shields on. Sure.
Hi, I'm Gary. That'd be so much easier.
Mom, I've got to have that new Gary action figure.
I'd buy it.
Oh, God. And then you could have the Steve action figure, and then they could put track lighting in the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
And listen to show tunes. Oh, my God. I can't believe I just said that. Whatever. Okay. Whatever. It's funny. Laugh. Aha. All right, Brandon, you've got an interesting one. You picked EVE Online for your worst game?
When I first started playing the game, a while back, I liked the game itself. I like the space battle, I like the space flight, I like the advancement of ship by doing, mining and things like that.
Right.
Or by fighting pirates. That part of the game is great. What I don't like about the game and what really turned me off from this game is the fact that they let high-level players get right into the newbie starting area and level your ass.
And grief.
Not just grief, they just sit there and wait for anyone, everyone, so you can't do anything.
Right.
I mean, you can't leave to go to missions. You can't you can't do anything. You're sitting there in massive battleships, one shot and you're toast.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some incredible griefing. That has, with the advent of broadband and the internet and all of these online games, one thing that I want to decry is that couch co-op has died. Like, it is so underrepresented in all the video games that we play. And then, and back in the day, you know, you went out and you hunted, you know, for games with couch co-op, and there were a few around, and every now and then you'd get like an absolute gem, like Champions of Norrath or, you know, the Baldur's Gate stuff, and you'd sit down and you'd play them and you'd have a blast.
Yep.
Now you can't. And with that, with this whole multiplayer online thing, is this whole griefing thing has just gotten freaking out of hand. I don't know. I was playing League of Legends right before we started recording, and there was some idiot in there on my team just spamming surrender. Just spamming surrender. And it's just like, you know, we might stand a chance of winning if you'd actually play the game instead of just spamming a surrender vote. You know, you douchebag. Play the game. If you don't want to play the game, like, go write your own game where all you do is just spam surrender. You know, that's what you need to do. Like, I play League of Legends to waste time. I don't play it to be good. I don't play it to show my E-peen. I play it to literally, it's 45 minutes per game usually. I play it to kill 45 minutes. That's it. You know. Well, alright, so EVE Online, griefing, like, what else about the game? Or was that just it?
That's it. I mean, it's, if a multiplayer game, if you're going to play it like that and you're going to host and sponsor a game like that, you've got to set up limits like WoW did where you can't have or can't allow big ass maxed out players sitting there taking out the noobs.
Right, right. It's hard for in WoW for unless it's a PvP. No. No, if it's a PvP server and an enemy faction guy comes into your newbie area, they're flagged but you're not. You don't have to touch them.
Exactly.
They can't do anything to you. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I've also heard that EVE Online has one of the steepest learning curves of any.
Oh, it does. It takes straight world. Days. It takes real days to learn stuff. So, I mean, you've got to learn skills, and it will take you out real hours to learn stuff. Days, weeks.
Yeah.
To gain experience and gain and stuff like that. That's an interesting concept, but if you're going to do that, you need to at least cut down the real time it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that certainly ensures people will be playing. I've got a friend who plays it, and he told me the same thing, and I thought, how the hell is that fun? You know, I want to level up in an hour, not 16 years.
Yeah, I agree. At least with WoW, like, if you jump on and make a new character, like, within the first, you know, I don't know, I'm going to say about 4 hours of gameplay, like, you go up, like, and now that my information's old, my experience is old, but you could go up, like, 6 levels or more, you know, like, in 4 hours. So it's, like, you know, more than an, you know, a little less than an hour, you're leveling.
Yeah.
You know, and you're leveling and you're leveling. So I think they've kind of got that balance right there in their newbie areas. And games that don't, you know, hit that sweet spot suffer for it.
True.
All right, so what's my worst game? I don't have a worst game. I just have overhyped games. Avatar was overhyped. The movie was fantastic. I really enjoyed the movie. The movie was very epic. The video game, like, it's the world. It's that same place. It, you know, and if you play as one of the giant Smurfs, I'm sorry, the Na'vi. Na'vi Smurfs. Giant
Naughty
Smurfs.
Naughty Smurfs.
Yeah, Snotty Smurfs. The world is there. It's that place. It's a recognizable. You even get to ride one of the big things, you know, like, not like the big giant one he had, but the controls are clunky. Yeah, they were.
And that had a lot of glitches. That had a lot of glitches too.
They were really clunky. There was some glitchiness to it. I didn't play it for a whole lot. It eats up a lot of space on your console.
Now that was Wii, right?
No, that was PlayStation 3. And you don't get any of the epicness. I mean, they're not telling the story out of the movie. I mean, you're not that dude. You're not playing as that guy.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you're another researcher and, you know, that happens. But it's just like right at the beginning, they transfer your soul to the Na'vi body and still nobody accepts you and nobody wants you. And it's just, you know, go hunt and fetch and go do this. And it, the controls, you know, where you run and you skid to a stop or whatever, like that's just got to come out of video games.
Yeah.
That's just got to come out of video games.
Period. Yeah, that is quite annoying.
You know, actually, Alan Wake had that, and that was pretty much the only thing I really hated about the game.
Well, you know, the whole running and then how you stop or whatever. Like, in WoW, you just stop.
Admittedly, it's more realistic to have the skidding to a stop, because that's what you do in real life, but who cares about realism in a game? You know, it's a game.
Right.
Also, and that's if you're running, but if you want to walk, you shouldn't have to...
That's true, yeah, that's also a good point. Walking shouldn't do that.
Some of these games don't even have a walk in them.
Exactly, yeah. It's all run.
Right, you know, Assassin's Creed 2 has got, it's got the walk, it's got the run, it's got the sprint. Oh, I just hit my mic. with my thumb. I'm gesticulating. It's a Mario. There were so many different ways to move in that game. And every now and then, you know, you'd do something a little crazy. There's more than one time that I just jumped off the side of a tower onto a street. And that's a little disappointing, but it starts you over right there, like, whatever. But some of these games that all they have is one way to move around, and that way that you move around is buggy. And you can't, like, line up on a quest giver, or you can't, like, it's a real pain in the butt. And at least in Avatar, when you were flying around, God, that was some of the most clunky crap.
Yeah.
Like, I love Ace Combat. Love Ace Combat. I have 4 and 0, and I've played through them multiple times. You know, I've got the crazy planes that are all the weird colors, and I love it, and I'm fantastic, and I love watching the after-battle, you know, scenes where it shows the little arrow, and it shows you, and it's got the trail behind it, and it's showing you all the maneuvers that you made and the targets that you took out. None of that control do you get in Avatar when you're flying this clunky piece of doo-doo. And it's just the reason why you want to play the video game is because of the epicness of the movie, and none of that is in the video game. Like, none of it. It just seems like an empty shell. And that's really disappointing.
Unfortunately, that's a staple of movie video game adaptations.
Yes. And Tron's coming out.
Tron, the game could be good. It looks pretty cool, but I'm...
It's not the movie. It's not the movie.
That's true.
And they're not... You're playing the role of, tonight, the role of the main character. Will be played by... You're a program. You're not the characters from the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're an actual program from that digital world. And so that's different. At least Disney is saying, let's make a video game, but let's not make it one and the same with the movie, because we know how well that's worked out. So maybe they're a little intelligent on this side. So, Brett, you had one, Prince of Persia?
Yeah, that's our glitchiest game. Yeah, I actually posted a rant about this on the blog.
I read that. You were angry.
I was absolutely furious. A company as prestigious as Ubisoft should not release a game that has not one but two game-killing glitches. And when I say game-killing, I mean one of them can completely F up your day, and basically it'd be basically like being playing Final Fantasy, getting to level 50 at the end, near halfway through the game, and then going back to level 1, but still being halfway through the game, because you can lose your experience, all of your experience, which you put into skill points and things like that.
Oh,
yeah,
that would suck.
It happened to me.
Wow.
So that pissed me off. That really irritated me. And there's no fix for it. There was no patch. There's no other fix that they've announced. So I thought, you know what? I hate this, but I want to play it. I want to beat it, so I'm going to do it again. In researching that glitch, I found out that there's another glitch in which you can actually get stuck in a room at the end of the game if you die at a certain point, and it you load a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That checkpoint loads you behind a door that you opened, but is now closed again because of where you are. And so you literally cannot beat the game. You are stuck in that room for the rest of the game.
Wow.
So I thought, oh boy, I better not die at that point. Well, guess who died at that point?
So now you're just stuck in this room?
So So I cursed the gods, I cursed Ubisoft, I cursed everyone's mother, and I looked it up. And there is a way to get around that. You have to delete the checkpoint and load the backup checkpoint, which is about, I don't know, 45 minutes earlier in the game, which is BS, first off.
Yeah.
I mean, is that your fix, Ubisoft? Yeah. I mean, but not only that, I loaded that backup checkpoint, and I lost my experience again.
Wow.
So at that point, I had to resist the urge to break the disc, and I'm honestly holding back a lot of swear words right now because I'm still mad about it, because it's still one of the most insane things I've ever experienced with the game. And I went back to a certain rental store,
right,
and I told them what happened, and actually, as luck would have it, they had just gotten back Alan Wake, the first copy they'd had in weeks,
right,
and I managed to get it for free and trade it out for free. So,
silver lining,
I got a really awesome game, and now a miserable steaming pile of crap. The funny thing is, the Wii version is actually pretty good for the Prince of Persia game. You know, it's a different game entirely.
Okay.
Yeah, no glitches. Well, nothing like that.
It was made by different retarded tauntauns.
Same company. I mean, same company. You know, different team, but same company. So, I'm absolutely appalled. Ubisoft just like irks me more and more with their newest, I want to say, Nazi DRM policies and
how did they go from Assassin's Creed 2 to this broken game that you're talking about? Like
how they go there is they rushed it out. They try to cash in on the movie, which the movie actually I liked the movie. It wasn't super awesome, but it was good for a video game movie. I've always liked the series. So
well, here's the thing: like Roger Ebert just stuck his wiener in a blender. He wrote a thing not too long ago about how video games were never art, and I think everybody in the video game community just turned around and blasted him. And it is art. And the problem with multimedia art is that it's pick a damn medium. Pick one.
Yeah.
Pick one and go with it, and then adapt later on. And the thing about Assassin's Creed is Assassin's Creed was a video game, and they came out with a video game, and some parts of it were really, really awesome. When you first climbed up to one of those towers, and you looked around, and then you dove off of it, that was awesome. That was like, holy crap, why don't they put this in every game?
Yeah.
It was awesome, but there were some problems wrong with the game. So then they go back to the drawing board, they come out with another one, and they fixed everything. I've never seen a sequel where they fixed everything.
Yeah.
And they did with Assassin's Creed 2. Now, they're starting to do all of this other tie-in stuff, but by God, one of those mediums has got to be canon.
Right.
You know, Avatar, it should be the movie. Assassin's Creed, it should be the video games. And just go with that and then do your adaptations later. But when they, you know, it's just like, oh, let's release all this stuff at one time. Let's get it all out there and let's just have, you know, a super media, multimedia blitz. What's going to happen is you're probably going to have one thing that's good and then the rest of it's going to be crap.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sick of it too. Like, really? Like, pick one, make your art, and then do your derivatives. But, you know, one of them has to reign supreme.
Yeah.
And be good. So, all right.
I want a lot there. I want it to be good.
I know. I'm wanting too much. All right, Brandon, you wanted your buggiest, glitchiest game was EmpireCraft.
Correct. So, that's a free little download. It's a web-based browser game that I was playing for a while.
Right. You talked about it.
Yeah, it was a fun game to play, but if you clicked wrong in the game,
right,
the entire game would shift around, your entire position would move. You couldn't click back on your towns and stuff. I mean, it was terrible. You had to close the browser and come back in to fix it.
That's unacceptable, sir.
Well, I mean,
that's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad. I mean, especially for some of these browser games, which aren't that hard to make, but...
Well, everybody knows that E3 just came, like, E3 just happened or is still going on or, I don't, it's wrapping up.
Yeah.
They just wrapped up?
Yeah, they finished.
Friday?
Yep.
Was it Friday? Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know why? They didn't want any competition from the World Cup. So they were just like, you know what? We're just going to shut down, let the World Cup go. Because we know how many people in America follow the World Cup.
Yeah, all of a sudden, when America was playing, and then it was quiet again.
So the at E3, and I guess we'll talk about E3 more on subsequent shows. They announced a Battlestar Galactica, you know, based off the new franchise or the new series, but a browser-based MMO thing, game E. I don't know. So that kind of like, okay, Empirecraft was supposed to be kind of like a civilization kind of browser-based thing.
Yep.
And then, so now they're going to do a Battlestar Galactica MMO in a browser? That's my first reaction, too.
Yeah, that's probably, that would have been mine, too.
I know that broadband is better. I know that, that video and graphics and pipelines and everything else, I know they're better. I know they are.
Yeah.
We have, you know, on some of the higher end websites for the video games and movies and stuff like that, you know, you click onto the website and dude, it just starts streaming video. Like, that's their intro. Like, you could never have done that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago, you definitely couldn't have done it. 15 years ago, no way. 10 years ago, they still had problems. You know, and now, you know, they do it with ads. So you know if the ads can do it?
Yeah.
I get onto some of these websites and they've got some ads in the corner and it's just a video and you have to click it to make it stop.
Yeah.
Because it's auto-playing. So I know the technology's moving that way, but it's like, can they bring the full MMO experience? And it's Battlestar Galactica, dude. If you're out there blasting stuff in a Viper, like in a browser, I don't know.
Yeah, I have to say, though, Battlefield Heroes and Quake Live are awesome, and they're browser-based.
Okay, well, that's hopeful.
I don't know if any of you have played those, but I mean, Battlefield Heroes it's a little broken in that people who actually pay the actual money for the upgrades and things are crazy powerful compared to the, you know, people who just want to play for free.
Right.
But in terms of an actual fun game experience and, you know, just in general, just an awesome technological advance. That's it, you know.
Okay.
So there could be good, although I definitely share your apprehension about it.
All right. Well, Brandon, is there anything else you want to say about Empirecraft?
No, I mean that's about it.
It's just the whole thing would just like freeze and bug out on you. And...
Yeah, I mean when you're playing the game, you don't want to, especially a browser game, you don't want to just sit there. Okay, it's froze. Go reload it.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one's attacked and destroyed your town.
Speaking along those exact same lines, Dragon Age Origins, which I really liked the first game. Awakenings was kind of not so much. I think they overcharged for what they delivered. But Dragon Age, the franchise, they've got a great story. They've got a great setting. They've got solid gameplay. I'm not sure that I would have done my skills and abilities and talents and stuff the way they did, but whatever. After, I guess this was late April, the PlayStation 3 firmware update, number 3.3, came out, and after it came out, Dragon Age, and I guess it was Mass Effect as well, both BioWare games, they started crashing a lot. And there was a point, I remember telling you guys, I don't know if it came out in a podcast or whatever, it's like, you know, what have you been playing? Well, I've been playing some Dragon Age, but it keeps crashing, so I quit playing. This was a worldwide issue. So in late April, PlayStation comes out with their 3.3 firmware update. As soon as it does, everybody's Mass Effect...
Mass Effect didn't come out for PlayStation.
No, but they still had this problem. And I don't know...
Okay.
They had a similar problem, but Mass Effect was not out for the PlayStation. So it might have just been like the PC version, or it might have been Xbox.
Yeah, probably.
But definitely Dragon Age, it started to crash right after this, and it had to do with the game sending character data to the Dragon Age servers. Now, I've never gone and looked up my character on the Dragon Age servers. Maybe I should do that. Let me see if I can do it right now. But let's see here. Dragon Age, characters. I don't know what that had to do necessarily with, you know, the causing the game to crash, but apparently whenever it communicated to a non-Sony server, it was causing the game to crash. And so Dragon Age sends this character data back. So they started researching this stuff for both Mass Effect 2 and Dragon Age, And around, I guess, the 18th of May, they were supposed to have come out with a patch. But if you played between late April and mid-May, you'd be playing along, you'd be going fine, and then all of a sudden everything would just freeze. And it was because I'm still looking this stuff up on the Dragon Age thing. I shouldn't be doing this. I live in the age of the interwebs. I can do it if I want. So if you played during this time, there was no predicting whether this was going to hit you or when this was going to hit you or what was going to happen, but you could be guaranteed that the one thing that was going to happen was that you were going to lose, probably at least, an hour's worth of game time.
Yeah.
Because this thing hosed up. Oh, wow. Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
Not what?
I had loaded up the characters thing, and it was the dog, the war dog, and he barked at me. That's awesome. that scared me. It was just like, rah, rah, rah. So there was that. And that wasn't BioWare's problem. They didn't cause that problem, but it only happened when you were playing their games.
Yeah.
So naturally you associate this bad stuff with them and their game. So to follow that up, when BioWare came out with the Dragon Age Origins Awakenings, and you load up Awakenings and you load up your character, she's naked. Well, my character's a she, and she's naked. And she's got on her little medieval panties and bra, and you knew she had armor on. You knew she had the best armor on from the last downloadable content you played. I knew my character had this stuff. I went back and looked, and my character had this stuff. And I start playing the expansion, and she doesn't have any of it. If it's one universe,
yeah,
all the items should just come over. And if people are starting to play this, we're going to take one universe and one franchise, and we're going to cut it up. So you've got the main game, and then you've got downloadable content, and then you've got the expansion, and none of it mixes. Stuff you.
That's a complete ripoff then.
I'll go back to playing WoW, even though I'm bored to death with it. At least there, everything's, it's continuous, and they've gotten even better, where you can take your high-level toons and you can buy stuff that's bind on account now, and you can mail it to your low-level toons, and your low-level toons can use it. And it gives them not an insane advantage over other players, but it helps them level faster. And if they don't get their item database to where it doesn't matter what I'm playing, if I've paid money to you and it's part of this franchise, I should be able to go anywhere I want.
Yeah.
And I should have my items load, and I should be able to use that. And if they start feeding you this line, well, we didn't put that item in. Well, you put it in the last one. You couldn't have just included it in this one.
Yeah, that seems very particular and precise, and it doesn't make really...
Yeah.
It's not good.
It seems weird. And so, as much as I like Dragon Age Origins, as much as I like the universe, just their last offering was freaking glitchy. And it shouldn't have been, and it very easily could have not been, for the item thing, for the PlayStation thing, that there's nothing they could do about that, but... Anyway, so that's my buggiest, glitchiest game. So did we cover everything?
Yep, that would be it.
All right, so we got our awesome single-player games. That's Mass Effect 2, Final Fantasy 13, and Assassin's Creed 2. Mm-hmm. Our awesome multiplayer games were Resident Evil 5, Gold. That's what you have down here.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell Conviction, Left 4 Dead 2, Borderlands. Worst games, Star Wars The Clone Wars, Republic Heroes, EVE Online for the large amounts of newbie griefing. I think Avatar was mine. And then the buggiest games were The Prince of Persia The Forgotten Sands on the 360 and PS3, Empire Craft, browser-based, and then Dragon Age Origins on the PlayStation. That's a lot of territory we covered today.
Yes, it is.
Bueller. Anybody?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Throw me a lifeline. Somebody. Don't leave me hanging.
You're okay out there.
Dangling in the wind.
E3, they'll arrest you for that.
They've tried. No, E3 has just wrapped up, so hopefully we'll have some news, some more news on that next podcast. We've been planning on doing this one for a while. It's the only reason why we didn't talk about it this time. So let's get together on that and make sure that we have some E3 coverage in our next one, because I'm sure people are going to be interested. I know I am, and I've been following it. Some cool stuff coming out. And then what else we got? Transformers War for Cybertron's coming out soon. Got my eye on that. Anything you guys got your eyes on?
I know Brandon's looking forward to Lego Harry Potter, which comes out pretty soon.
Yeah,
I've actually just pulled down the demo for that onto my Xbox, so I'll be playing that here later to see what the demo's like.
Cool.
It was actually a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, so you both played it. You're jerks. I haven't played it.
I'm actually looking at the new Sims 3 expansion, Ambitions.
Oh, when does that come out?
It's out. $40.
Right. I'm an idiot. I have that, and I completely forgot that I had it.
$40.
That is a bit much for an expansion.
Yes.
Yeah.
$30 is usually the cap.
Dude, Trish bought it and was walking out to the car and looking at the receipt and was like, you know what? And she went back in and she was like, uh-uh. And so she sent it back.
Wow.
And it was just like... Because she said, I'm not paying $40 for an expansion because there's not enough. Like, what they had listed on that box was not enough to warrant my $40.
Yeah, not enough content.
So, and yeah, which is what she looks for, especially. So she'll get it later, but.
But yeah. next month we also have StarCraft.
How could I forget that? Yes, on the July 7th. So the.
7th or 27th?
I thought it was Originally, it was the 7th.
I'll tell you in a second.
It was like 7-7-2010, and that's when the Terran faction... Ooh, did you hear that thunder?
No, we did not.
No, but I'm hearing a bit of rain on my own end.
We better end this soon, because Mother Nature fitting to get angry.
That's quiet over here.
But, we just had one pop over here bad. I forget what I was saying. Something about lightning.
It scared him so bad he forgot.
Yeah, he wet himself. Yeah, I did. I did. Now I need a...
That wasn't thunder.
I need a wet nap.
He farted.
So lots of E3 stuff coming out, being announced, or has come out and is announced, including... What is that, the GoldenEye that you always talk about?
Oh, yeah, the remake of GoldenEye, which actually I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, so there's lots of nifty-looking stuff that they've come out with during the E3 that we need to talk about.
And a follow up here? Yeah. 7/27 is StarCraft 2 release.
Did they push it back?
Yeah, it's 27th.
It's the 27th now?
Yeah, per that stop of games.
Okay, so the 27th is when that one's supposed to come out next month. That's gonna be huge. Korea's gonna shut down for a few days. South Korea, because they don't have electricity in North Korea. And they're just all going to play StarCraft. So, anyway. All right, so that's good. That's fantastic. Does anybody else have anything that they want to say before we go?
No, I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything either. Well, I mean, there's lots of things I want to say, but we need to end this.
That's all, folks.
I need a sandwich. Well, fantastic. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you have any questions for Brett, Brandon, or I, or comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. Or feel free, there's too many E's and F's in that, feel free to leave a comment on any one of our blog posts. And if you're an advertiser, we will chuckle at your comment and delete it. Because you're advertising another site and not ours.
Yeah, that's fun.
I know. I get about 30 of them every day. We also want to thank the Blind Monkeys, as always. for supplying the music that you hear at the beginning and end of this podcast. You can find out more about Blind Monkeys at www.blindmonkeys.com. That's B-L-I-N-D. Monkeys is spelled M-O-N-K-E-E-Z. So blindmonkeys.com. And if you're in the St. Petersburg area, please check out their website and please check out them, because they'll be playing out somewhere soon in that area. So, and they're a bunch of great guys. So that's it. I've done my piece. Everybody, say goodnight.
Good night.
Walking down on Friday night, all the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine, till Sartre's woman caught my side. It's hot late and I'm feeling weak. I need one with me each dream. We're out of strong, but it's dream mine, it won't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on air. We're talking dirty, the words she likes to hear. Head on down and do drop in. We're just here looking for sale. Play my card, taste is high. She likes game, give it a try. It's hot late, not feeling weak. And I got that one with me each dream. We're out, I'm feeling strong. And I journey mine, can't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on air. We're talking dirty, she likes to hear.